Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Society says getting in debt is normal. If your credit card isn't maxed out, what's wrong with you? As people feel they have to live beyond their means, debt is destroying all too many marriages and families. What's the answer? Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer speaks on Till Debt Do Us Part.
My topic today is Till Debt Do Us Part. According to a Gallup poll, about 50% of all divorces happen because of money issues, usually because of debt. I am going to take the time to read two letters that came to me. You can look over my shoulder. These came to me from different parts of the country. Several years ago, I left a very successful job to open my own business. Unfortunately, due to 9/11 and other reasons, my business failed after 5 years. I lost about $200,000, which was my family's saving. My wife has never forgiven me for being so irresponsible. I've lived with this guilt and shame for years, and the money we've lost is a constant issue in our marriage. I can't trust God to help me because I suspect I made these decisions without consulting Him. Every day I'm depressed over it. Do I just have to live the rest of my life reliving this failure? By the way, he's wrong. Even though he made those decisions unwisely, God is still available to help him. Another letter. We've been married for 20 years. We have young children. I'll summarize here. We fell into debt. I took a second job because I lost some of our money in what I thought was a solid investment. Even though we're making it financially, she wants out of the marriage because she feels that I've neglected her emotionally, which I have, because I took a second job trying to make up the extra money that I lost. She spends hours on the internet and is corresponding with a man she dated before we were married. She's helping him with his issues, but I think I know how this is going to end. I feel helpless to stop it. Till debt do us part. I have to begin by saying that young couples, before they are married and they say I do, they should solve the problems of their expectations regarding lifestyle, regarding money issues, because it is huge and divides people and divides marriages. But what we have to do is to overcome three myths in our culture. Three ideas that we live with, especially those of us who live in the great United States of America. The first is the great desire to live beyond our means, to live beyond our income, to act our wage, which most of us don't want to do. So young couples and others, they extend themselves. Yeah, it's more house than we can really afford, but it'll work out somehow because we really like it. So we have to overcome that. We have to overcome the manipulation of the marketers. This past week, somebody gave me a book on marketing, and now they're studying neurology to see what it is that makes us buy things. The whole idea of surveys doesn't work anymore because the experts say that what people say in surveys, they do not carry out. Their behavior is different. I heard on the news that if you put on Facebook that you like Diet Coke, for example, the day will come when you'll walk into a store and on your phone will flash Diet Coke for sale at a certain amount of money. That's what it's coming to, and we have to resist it. Now, I have today seven principles that are foundational to this whole money thing. And because we don't have a lot of time, what I need to do is to summarize them, but each of them is worthy of an entire message. But I want you to listen carefully. I've been praying that this message will keep a couple from divorce, for example. A couple that is on the rocks. A couple that can't talk about money because it's one of those hot button issues that they avoid. So without any more chit-chat, let's get right into it immediately. Principle number one is this, that God owns everything. Now, I am going to ask you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to be quoting other verses, but this is the one I shall refer to a number of times in this message. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul is talking about false teachers, and he says that these false teachers, I'm in the last part of verse 5, imagine that godliness is a means to gain. That's in a sermon in itself. The health and welfares. Godliness is the means by which you get money, especially if you support their ministries. Separate story. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. I'm going to stop there for just a moment. Whose was it before you were born? It belonged to God. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. Who is it after you die? Whose will it be? It will be God's. You say, but in between times, it is mine because I earned it by the sweat of my own brow. Or as some husbands say, by the sweat of my own frow, we earned the money. You'll have to think about that, some of you. But the fact is, the Bible says it is God who gives you the ability to get wealth. Who woke you up in the morning? Who gave you health and strength? Who enabled you to find a job? Who gave you the wisdom to earn the money that you did as you worked hard? It is God. Now let me explain to you why this is so important. What this means practically is that every financial decision is therefore a spiritual decision. You see, it's not like some people think, well, we give 10% to the ministry of missionaries in Moody Church, and then the rest is ours. We can do with it as we please. No, you can't, because it belongs to God too. Now, you can use it for yourself, you can pay bills, you have to live, but all of our financial decisions, as Larry Burkett used to say, are at root spiritual decisions. So all of this comes under the umbrella of the sovereign control and watchful eye of God. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is simply that we have to keep in mind that money makes all of the same promises as God, and therefore it competes with God in our lives. Now, your Bibles are open to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice in verse 6, now there is great gain in godliness. Actually, verse 6, yes, there is great gain in godliness in contentment. And I'm going to actually skip now to verse 9. We'll be coming back to the other verses in just a moment about contentment. It says in verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. I have to stop here for a moment. There's nothing wrong with bettering your living situation. There's nothing about ambition to be able to earn money if it's going to help your family and is going to free you up so that you can give money generously to other causes and people in need. The Bible does not condemn wise investments. Some people live in poverty perpetually when, if they would think about it, they may have opportunity to better their situation. The Bible is not opposed to that. In fact, it would encourage it if we looked at other passages. But when Paul here in verse 9 talks about those who desire to be rich, he's speaking about those who look upon money in itself as power and as something they want to attain to. Some of these people may be very stingy, actually, very stingy. And so they don't look at it as an opportunity of generosity at all. Paul says that that kind, now notice it says, they fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith, pierced themselves with many pangs. Do you love money more than you love God? Do you hear the voice of money more than you hear the voice of God? You see, the reason that the rich fall into these temptations is, number one, they have the opportunity to be able to sin in new and creative ways because they can finance their sins, for example. And not only that, the love of money has so come into their heart that they don't really need God. God says, I am with you in sickness and in health. And money says the same thing. It says, I'm going to be with you during a good economy. I'm going to be with you in a bad economy. I am your security. I'll be there when you are sick. I'll be there when you are well. I'll be there when you want entertainment, when you want to travel. I will be with you. Competes with God. And the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. You know, when you talk about big money, people just lose it. They become crazy. Have you ever noticed all the athletes, not all of them, but many of them that have earned millions and millions of dollars ending up in bankruptcy? It's because big money does things to people. They sacrifice their families. They sacrifice their ethics. They sacrifice everything because of the love of money. So the Bible warns about that craving. Nothing wrong with money. We need it to live. But the craving to be rich is destructive. This is Pastor Lutzer, and I can't help but think of all of the couples throughout the years that I've counseled who have great arguments regarding money. Money tears couples apart. And because it does not seem as if they can be harmonized on this issue, that conflict continues, even if it is buried, so to speak. It nonetheless is there because it's not dealt with. The reason that I preach this message is to warn against debt, which all of us sometimes have fallen into, to warn against that, but also to encourage principles so that couples can manage their resources and be content with what they have, although there's nothing wrong with improving yourself, but at the same time being content so that you can live in harmony despite your differences. You know, this particular series of messages, which is called Fighting for Your Family, has many different sermons on topics such as abuse and addictions and entertainment and, yes, money, as we'll see next time here on Running to Win. As we continue this particular message, we want you to have it. We're making it available as a video series along with a discussion guide. Because our desire is that you take these truths which come to us from the Scriptures and apply them. Because I really do believe that God can save many marriages. There may be some of you who are contemplating divorce at this moment, and God can reverse that and bring harmony and unity. Trust Him. Believe Him. Because we know that God is actively involved in our lives.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. We're hearing Till Debt Do Us Part, the fifth of 10 messages on fighting for your family. No matter how much money we have, it always seems we need more. Next time, getting control of our love of money, an analysis of how misusing money can destroy our families. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about fighting for your family. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.